Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Pirkei Avos class learning, Erev Shabbos Shuvah. We are in the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, this auspicious time of repentance, the days beginning on Rosh Hashanah and culminating with Yom Kippurim, the Day of Atonement. So let us have our learning. I thank very much our sponsors for dedicating this Aseres Yemei Teshuvah Pirkei Avos Shir. So first sponsor, I'm not going in any particular order. When I posted we needed sponsors, there was a lot of zrizus because it's the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, and of course, we all need zchuyo. So tizku mitzvos l'maisim tovim to all. Ruti Berkowitz, as a refuah shleima to Chedva Rivka Bas Edna, and a refuah for Rivka Shoshana Bas Naomi Batsheva. It is also Lilui Nishmas Yehudas Bas David, her mother, Zichrono Levracha, who approached everything in life with sincerity and honesty. Ruti wrote, so may her neshama have an aliyah, Yehudas Bas David, and the zchus of the Divrei Torah we will share. Someone wants to remain anonymous. I know she is. She knew who she is. But she asked me to announce anonymously in honor of our classes. And wishing everyone a Gemar V'chasima Tov. It should be a year of peace, health, Yeshuos, and Besuros Tovos to all. Amen. Susie Fonfeder is also sponsoring very similarly. Refuah for those in need and a good Gebench year for all. Susie wrote something very nice. Tizki Mitzvos L'maisim Tovim. She said, I'm always here if you need a sponsor. So Tizki the Mitzvos. And very last minute, about 10 minutes before Shir, someone reached out to me. Gail Hoffman is sponsoring the Shir as a Zchus for a Refuah Shalema for Yitzchak Faish Ben Fega Sima. This is a relative of someone who regularly joins our Shir group and who is in need of a Refuah Shalema. So we hope that these Divrei Torah will bring a good kabenshir to all of Klai Yisrael, refuos and besuros tovos to all of those who in need, Chedva Rivka Bas Edna, Rivka Shoshana Bas Naomi Bat Sheva, Yitzchak Faish Ben Fega Sima, as well as a Zuchus Ali and Hashemah for Yehudas Bas David, and for the two sponsors who are sponsoring for a good kabenshir, Amen. Kain Ya'aseh Hashem. So let us get into our learning. So we are going to be learning in Yanei Deyoma, but we're going to be doing a paste on Pirkei Avos, of course. So here I am. I'm going to be screen sharing with you. Here we go. So could you see that I switched to hand up Pirkei Avos Aseres Yemei Teshuvah here? Yes? Okay, very good. Okay. So we are in Perek Dalet, as you see on my screen. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Yaakov says, Ha'olam hazeh domer leprozder. You know, what are we all doing here? Where are we trying to get? Is this the end all and the be all? Or is just this a passageway to a better eternal existence? And the answer, of course, is the latter, not the former. Ha'olam hazeh domer leprozder b'fnei ha'olam haba. This world is just the antechamber. It's the hallway before the world to come. Haskin asmecha b'prozder. You better prepare yourself while you're here. Kadesha tikanes literaklin, so that you will enter the ballroom. Prepare yourself in the antechamber so you will enter the banquet hall, the ballroom, which is the world to come. This is all just preparation for the next world. Furthermore, hu haya omer, he used to say, Yafasha achas b'teshuva u'maisim tovim ba'olam haseh. 1 hour, one act of teshuva and good deeds in this world is better than, more elevated, nicer than, mikol chayeh olam haba. Better than all of life in the eternal. Look at the power of teshuva. There is nothing better than chayeh olam haba, which is eternal, where the truth will be revealed, where everything will make sense, where we don't have questions anymore, where the neshama basks in the glory of the Shechina. And yet Rabbi Yaakov says, look at the power of teshuva, yafa shah, achas b'teshuva u'b'maisim tovim ba'olam haza mikol chaye ha'olam haba. There is something in this world that if you can access it, it is better than life in the entire eternal world of eternities, and that is an act of sincere teshuva. Maisim tovim, good deeds. However, you should balance that out with yafasha achas shel koras ruach ba'olam haba mikol chaye ha'olam haza. However, a single moment of bliss and the world to come is greater than all of the present world in which we are. So you see here the tremendous power of teshuva, which outweighs almost teshuva in this world. A person is in olam hazeh, you're still temporal, you're finite, you're mortal, you're basar adam, flesh and blood. And yet the koach of teshuva is so strong, if we can't even imagine, because we've never been to olam hazeh, I mean in a previous neshama. We don't remember in this existence what it was like over there. And nevertheless, the power of teshuva is so great that it is better than, it is more blissful than, it is greater than, nicer than, want to act more than the entire world to come. So let's just look at a couple of commentators like you see on the screen. So the Bar Tanura says as follows, Yafesha achas b'teshuva litzorech teshuva v'maisim tovim v'maisim tovim. Yafesha achas b'teshuva, what does it mean that one, it doesn't really mean 1 hour, okay? It means one act, one moment of teshuva is better than the next. Well, litzorech teshuva, for the purpose of teshuva, v'maisim tovim. So when you are engaged in that act of sincere repentance, and when you are engaged in, truly engaged in good deeds, that is greater than all the next world. Continues the Bar Tanura, mikol chaye ha'olam haba, greater than all of life in the next world. The fisha ba also zman ein hatshuva maisim tovim mehanim la'adam. Because when you get to the next world, all the teshuva in the world, pun intended, and all the maisim tovim in the world are not going to help you anymore. After 120, after a person leaves olam haza, doesn't matter how much tshuva you think you want to engage in, it doesn't matter how many maisim tovim you think you want to do, at that time there is going to be no benefit to the person. It's too late. What you didn't do while you were here, you can no longer do. And that's why tshuva and maisim tovim in this world are greater than all of eternity in the next world, because they can't be accessed in the next world. Hashem gives us a gift, and there's a way to access something down here that you cannot access up there. And what is that? Tshuva and maisim tovim. She'ein olam haba ela lekabel schar. The purpose of Olam Haba is not to do more. Whatever you get, Ashrei Misha Balkan Vitamudo Biyado. Whatever you get up with, what you have when you get up there, that's it. You can't get any more. Olam Haba, says the Bar Tanura, is the place where you receive reward for what you did in this world. So the more tshuva, ma'isim tovim, you do in this world, the greater the eternity will be, and you're accessing that Olam Haba from this world. Rashi says on the Mishnah, Mikol Chai Olam Haba, very similar. Shakol Chai Olam Haza Litzorach Kach, because all of life in this world is for this purpose. It's for the purpose of tshuva and maisim tovim, for Torah and tefillah. Lafisha ba also has man lo yanohig tshuva maisim tovim. She'ein ha'olam haba ela lishalum schar amal shakim ba'olam haza, very similar to the Bar Tanura, because at that time, meaning when a person goes up to the olam ha'emes, what a tshuva maisim tovim, they don't take any effect up there. They have no relevance up there, because olam haba is not a place for doing. Olam haba is a place for receiving reward for what he kept in this world. So there is a way in this world to access a tam of olam haba, and that is with the power of tshuva maisim tovim. So again, let's just look at the Mishnah, the two Mishnahs that we learned. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Ha'olam hazeh domer the prosdor b'fnei olam haba haskein atzim chaber prosdor kedei shetikanes literakli. And so you should prepare yourself in the antechamber, which is this world, so you could enter the ballroom or the banquet hall, which is the next world. Hu haya Omer, he used to say, you know, it's like there's a mashal. It's like sailing on a ship. I forgot who gives a mashal. It's like sailing on a ship. Whatever provisions you pack, it's brought down in the mikroskutos. I totally do not remember where, okay? But this is not my Yomasha. Whatever provisions you pack, it's like sailing on a ship. I don't remember where I heard it. Okay, please forgive me. I don't remember the source. But whatever provisions you pack before you set sail is what you're going to have. Once you set sail, you're not going to have anything. You're out on the open ocean. Whatever went onto the rowboat with you or the sailboat with you, that's it. That's prepare yourself in the antechamber so you could enter the body. Prepare yourself on shore before you set sail. Once you set sail, you cannot amass anything else. Hu haya omer. Of course, we're not talking about cruise ships that they have today. No, that's not what we mean. Hu haya omer. Yafesh sha'achas b'teshuva ma'isim tovim ba'olam haza mikol chayom haba. And the great power of repentance is so intense that one act of teshuva, one pure act of good deeds in this world is greater than all of life in the eternal world. And we saw about the Bar Tanura and Rashi, this is the place of doing. When you get to the next world, you can't do anymore. Whatever you have is what you have. That's where you receive schar for what you did. But you amass down here as much as you can. And it can be so great. It can be better than life in the eternal world. So one second. Well, there's a comment. So now we are going to go to... Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Kol torach be'erev Shabbos yochal b'Shabbos. Whoever will prepare on Erev Shabbos will eat on Shabbos. It's the exact same idea. That only what you prepare in advance is what you will benefit from on Shabbos, on the sailboat, and ultimately in the Olam Haba as well. I'm going to quote, you know, this is my last... No, I shouldn't say that. This is one of my last shiurim on Teshuvah before Yom Kippur. And I'm going to quote now from an article that was in Mishpacha, the fourth Elul, Dalet Elul Mishpacha, 5782. The English calendar was August 31st, 2022. And I was very moved by it. I have not told it over. It's been sitting on my desk. And I knew that in Elul/Tishrei during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, I felt that this is a very important piece for us to learn and share. And that's what the rest of this class is going to be based on. And it's my last recorded to be posted online shiur of this 40-day time period. Bli Neder. Actually, no. Scratch that. I forgot about Sunday. Fine. It's very important. It's an article by Rabbi Reuven Leuchter. He writes once a month in Mishpacha, and I enjoy his column very, very much. We talk so much about Teshuvah. I gave a whole shiur this morning, maybe you heard it, on the five halachic stages of Teshuvah, an in-depth shiur on the halachic process of Teshuvah. And we speak so much about Teshuvah in terms of leaving the sin, regretting the sin, resolve for the future, and vidui, oral confession. And these are halachic stages. If you're interested in the halacha in depth, you could go listen to my morning shiur. It's a very halachic shiur, going through parak beis of Hilchos Teshuvah of the Rambam. Teshuvah is not just a good idea. It's a halachic process that we must undergo. So we must all identify an area of weakness or areas of weakness and attempt to rectify areas of weakness. But Rabbi Reuven Leuchter, in this piece, presents a totally different perspective on what Teshuvah is. And I found it very impactful, very important, very eye-opening, and I want to share it with you. Again, it's August 31st, 2022, Dalet Elul 5782, okay? So, today was Dalet Tishrei, a month ago. The title is Rewriting the Story. Listen carefully. The month of Elul is a priceless treasure. You could say the same thing about the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. It's a priceless treasure. Hashem gave us this month to prepare ourselves for a favorable judgment on Rosh Hashanah. And now you could say, okay, we're past Rosh Hashanah. Hashem gave us these entire 40 days to prepare ourselves for a favorable stamping and sealing on Yom Kippurim. But we have one problem, says Rabbi Reuven Leuchter. We don't know how to ready ourselves. Should we make a list of our averos? Should we try to force ourselves to feel contrite? Should we take on a praiseworthy practice, like accepting Shabbos early? Should we take on the practice of benching from a sitter? We don't really know, despite how much we talk about teshuvah, we don't always really know what to do. If we want to know how to prepare ourselves for Rosh Hashanah, just substitute Yemei Hadin, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, and the Chasima of Yom Kippur. Quote, we first have to understand what the judgment is all about. So we call Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom HaZikaron, Yom Teruah. In the Chumash, we quote it from Parshas Pinchas, in the Shemona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. It's called Yom Teruah Yelachem, and it's a Zikaron Teruah as well. So in Vayikra, Perak Chav Gimel, and it's quoted in Parshas Pinchas as well, Perak Chav Ches, or Chav Tes of Parshas Pinchas, the Torah refers to Rosh Hashanah as a Yom Teruah. It's a Rosh Hashanah, it's a Yom HaZikaron, and it's a Yom HaDin. So if we're all going to Din, we have to know how to prepare ourselves for this Din. And we speak so much about Teshuvah, and I gave four-part series through Elul this morning. Literally, every class was on the power of Teshuvah and different insights in the whole class, 4 hours. And yet, we first have to understand what judgment is all about. Ultimately, after a person's lifetime, he will be judged for everything he ever did, ever said, or ever thought. That's frightening. That's what Rabbi Yaakov tells us in the Mishnah where we began. Haskein atzmecha b'prozdor. Prepare yourself down here. If you want to enter the ballroom, you have to prepare yourself before you get to the ball. But that's not what the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is about. So after 120, we're going to be asked a series of questions. Masecha Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, when we go up to the Olam HaEmes. Kavat Itim LeTorah, Tzipisu LeYeshua, Asakta B'Priya V'Rivya, Nasasa vinasata be'emuna, evanta davar mitoch davar, and were you, did you have pilpul davar? The last two are referred to methods of Torah learning, and the first four are very clear. Did you set aside time for Torah learning? Did you anticipate and long for the redemption? Were you honest in your business? Did you involve yourselves in trying to fulfill the mitzvah of pru ervu? So you're going to be judged in the Olam Ha'emes for everything we ever did, ever said, or ever thought. It's very frightening. But that's not what the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is about, and that's not what the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is all about. Rosh Hashanah is called the day of Zikaron. It's a remembrance. The Torah even calls it Zikaron Teruah. The Torah puts together the word Zikaron with Truah. It's a remembrance of the Truah blast. What does Hashem remember, says Rabbi Reuven Leuchter, on Rosh Hashanah? He already knows everything we did. Hashem doesn't need reminders. I need reminders. How often am I putting reminders into my phone? I just put an upcoming dinner in January reminder into my phone, a class reminder into my phone, an appointment reminder into my phone. The sprinkler guy's coming next Friday. Put it in your phone. You're constantly putting reminders in your phone. And then you have a choice. Do you want to set a reminder for 2 days in advance, 1 day in advance, 30 minutes in advance at the time of the event? And you can set two reminders. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you rely on it also. Why does Hashem remember Rosh Hashanah? He already knows everything we did, everything we said, everything we thought. He doesn't need reminders. As we say in the davening of Rosh Hashanah, there is no forgetting. Ein shichacha lefnei kisei kevodecha. There is no forgetting before the throne of glory. Listen very carefully. What Hashem remembers on Rosh Hashanah isn't only the facts. It's not only what we did, what we said, or what we thought in the past year, even what we thought. So Avichik has a beautiful piece where he talks about how our thoughts also, and they're also belong to God. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem looks at a much grander picture of who we are. You could say on the Seder Simi Teshuvah, before the Chasima of the Din, he calls up the grand portrait that emerges from all the details of our thoughts, actions, and speech. Hashem remembers, examines, and recalls the story of our lives. What does that mean? The story of our lives. You know, is there just like a book in Shemayim where everything's added up? There's a column, that's how I always imagine. There's a column, this side says Michal Haaretz Averus, and this side says Michal Haaretz Mitzvos. And everything's added up, and the bottom you get to a tally. There's X number of Averus and X number of Mitzvos, and let's see which side is more. That's how we always think about it. But says Rabbi Reuven Leuchter, the story of our lives isn't just the sum of all our Mitzvos and all of our Averus. It's not just dry math that we add up how many Averus were here, how many Mitzvos were here. Let's get the total, and now let's put them on the scale, and that's it. It's finished, stamp sealed, finished, delivered. Yom HaZikaron, these Yemei Hadin, the Yamim Noraim, are about a picture that emerges from a deeper examination of our actions. Every action, whether it's positive or negative, contains a lot more depth than meets the eye. Sometimes you see someone doing something, but you don't really know what's behind what they're doing. Everything we do reveals an aspect of our personality, of our spiritual kochos, our tendencies. And the story that emerges from our thoughts, actions, and deeds is the extent to which we are using our kochos, to paraphrase Rabbi Zevlev, talents, abilities, and capabilities, to increase Hashem's glory and bring the world towards its purpose. I find this so powerful. It's not dry mathematics in Shemayim. It's the totality of the person and the picture of who you are. What does it mean to be Michal Haaretz? Substitute your own name. What do you think of? What does it mean how you act, how you think, how you speak? What is the grand picture of who you are? It's not dry mathematics. It's the totality of your personality and the Kiddush Hashem we bring to this nation in God's name, or Chas V'Shalom the other way. So two people could really be doing the exact same thing. One could get schar, and it's considered a schus, and the other could get chas v'shalom and onesh, and it's considered a demerit. I quoted interestingly in Shir this morning. I was teaching earlier this week to a group of Chuzrot B'Teshuvah. And one of the young ladies said that a couple of years ago, she fasted on one of the fast days. She was on her path to coming closer to Hashem. And she broke her fast on non-kosher food. This is someone who was learning. Now, I'm not God, so I have no idea how it works in Shemayim. But I also know, and so do you, b'makom shabali tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim omdim. Let's say she's taking this journey. I don't know. She didn't tell me more history. I have no idea. All by herself, without the support of family. Let's say she never had a Jewish education, which she did not. Let's say she comes back to Torah and she wants to do something for the Ribono Shel Olam. So she fasts. Wow. Whether it was Asar Batavis, Tainis Esther, I don't know what it was. That's a major schus. That's a major mitzvah. That's a major mesiras nefesh. Now, it happens to be that because she doesn't know better and she's not at the place in her journey where she has proper adracha, she breaks her fast on not kosher food. But I would imagine, this is not set in stone, that someone like that's going to have a lot more schus for her fast than chova for what she ate after the fast because she doesn't know better. But then let's say take someone like myself. Let's say I fasted the same fast. And I had a Jewish education. And Baruch Hashem, I have a Rav. And then I decide I want to break my fast on not kosher. Two people did the exact same thing. They both fasted. They both broke the fast on non kosher. One has a zchus and a mitzvah. And the other is in big trouble and has a demerit. They did the exact same thing. How could it be? It's incredible, this chiddush. It's not just, let's add up the mitzvos and add up the averus, because on paper, in the Sefer Zichronos, we both did the same thing. We both had the mitzvah of the tainis, and we both had the avera of what? Eating treif after the fast. By the way, I never eat treif after a fast. It's an example, a dogma. So how could it be that one of us is b'makom shabali tshuva omdim ein tzadikim gemurim omdim, and the other one's a sinner? It's not only dry mathematics and addition and a calculator, not that God needs a calculator. It's the totality of what it means to be the person that you are. What does it mean to live the life you live? What does it mean when people see you in the street? What does it mean to the people in your home? What does it mean to the Ribono Shel Olam to be the person that you are? Beyond the dry numbers of how many mitzvahs you have and how many averos you have. That's what it means, says Rabbi Reuven Leuchter, going back to this article, that Hashem remembers. Remembering does not just mean recalling the facts. When we remember a past experience, he says, we don't just recall a photograph of the event. That's not how memory works. When you have a memory of something, you don't just recall the picture. The picture jogs your memory and you recall the feeling. Now, can you access the feeling exactly? No, because you're not in the moment. But you remember how you felt. You remember the experience of the moment. Our memory conjures up all the personal or emotional significance you attach to the event. You know that when you stand by the kotel, it's not the same as when you stand, I don't know. When do you face a wall? Whatever, I don't know. Let's say you're waiting in line for something. There's a wall next to you. Okay, I don't know. In the supermarket, the bank, there's not a wall, but I'm just using an example. Do you feel the same? But you're both standing by a wall. But when you remember standing by the kotel, you don't only remember there were stones in the wall. You remember how you felt when you stood there. You remember the emotive experience of being there. My husband had to, unfortunately, not for a good reason, he had to go to Israel. There was a loss in the extended family, very, very last minute, to be Menachem Aval. So I said, don't forget your Kriya shirt for the kotel. Don't forget your Kriya shirt. So he just landed there this afternoon. So he WhatsApped me, please send me, Rabbi Schechter said we have to do when we go to the kotel for the Kriya shirt, where you care exactly what you say. You remember how you felt when you stood there. You remember how you felt when you tore a Kriya and you cry when you see foxes prowling atop Har HaBayis. You don't just remember standing in front of the walls. Standing in front of stone, there's an emotional experience that you remember along with the actual event. Our memory conjures up all the personal or emotional significance we attach to the experience. The memory evokes joy or fear or embarrassment that we attribute to the event. What you remember isn't the dry event itself. Oh, yes, I was standing in front of a wall. You remember the deeper meaning. We call Rosh Hashanah Ayam HaZikaron. In fact, the Torah calls it the Zikaron Truah. The shofar blast that we blow, Kaviyachal, helps Hashem. Kaviyachal, helps Hashem remember. What does he remember? What Hashem remembers on Rosh Hashanah is the focus of the judgment. We say in the Musaf prayers, for the remembrance of every creature comes before you. The acts of a person in his role. The story of a person's footsteps. The judgment of Rosh Hashanah is about the story that emerges from our lives in the past year. I was just listening to a shiur actually this morning by, you know, fill in the blank, Rabbi Zevlev. I say with the greatest respect, maybe just after Michal Haaretz, but Chas Hashem. So he was talking about the end of the year being very significant. The end of the year, the end of something is very significant. That's why you make a siyum when you finish a tractate or a seder. Mishnah, Gemara, the end is significant. The end of the year is very significant. But he said every one of us is a Beinoni. We're Beinonim. Some days you wake up and you have a great day. It's a Gemashmak day of davening. It's a day full of chesed. It's a day of tzedakah. And it's a day of Torah learning and you're on fire. The next day you wake up and you don't feel so great about yourself spiritually. And the davening's not so good and you don't go to shir and you didn't do tzedakah. We all have these days that are ups and downs. So how do you know if it was a positive year or a negative year? A good year or a bad year? Up or down? At the end of the year, you look back at the totality of the year. Who are you in the great totality of the picture? You can't take one day in isolation. Hashem looks at the totality of who we are. It's true we all have averos. Four people who ever existed could say they don't have any averos. None of us can. But we also all have mitzvos. That's not a book of mathematics and computation. It's more than only the action, thought, and speech. What does it say about you? How did you live your life? How was this year? What does it mean to be you? The judgment of Rosh Hashanah is about a story that emerges from our lives in the past year. By the way, please, no one should be silly and take this as a haskama to go do a veros. I'm sure that no one thinks Micharetz means that. You could go do a virus because it's the totality of who I am. And overall, in the totality of the grand picture, I'm a good person. So no one's going to deduce that from this shir. I don't even think it needs to be stated. But in case anyone thinks it needs to be stated, I stated it. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem does not judge us solely based on our actions. He examines the story that emerges from our actions. To what degree are we using the aspects of our personality and our spiritual strengths to serve him? That's where the real fear of judgment lies. I will repeat it again. To what degree are we using the aspects of our personality, the gifts that God endowed us with? Are we using our spiritual strengths to serve Hashem? That's where the real fear of judgment lies. Sometimes we have difficulty fearing the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. Because Rabbi Leuchter says, sure, we have our faults. But on the other hand, we all know we have a lot of mitzvos. I'm sure every single person here did multiple acts of chesed this year. I'm sure every single one of you did multiple acts of giving tzedakah. I'm sure every single one of you said countless brachos, and davened, and benched, and maybe from a siddur, and were mevater, and held your tongue. We have a lot of good things going for us. We also have a lot of averos. We're benoni. For many of us, the fear of judgment is limited to the unisana tokef. When we contemplate all the terrible things, mi b'mai, mi b'esh, mi b'cherav, mi b'rash, mi b'rav, mi b'tzama. So we're afraid during unisana tokef when we contemplate the terrible things that God forbid could happen. But the judgment of Rosh Hashanah isn't tallying up a list. There's a much greater picture to who we are. And if you understand the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, then you have reason to fear. Baruch Hashem, we've racked up a lot of mitzvah points, and we might be out of the red. But every person must ask themselves, am I using all of my kochos to bring glory to Hashem? not just a checklist of doing the mitzvos. It is the totality of who I am bringing glory to the Ribono Shel Olam. You've done a lot of positive actions, but is the story behind our actions congruent with Hashem's plan for us in the world? A person could daven, check. Put on tefillin, not us, check. Shake the arba minim, check. Eat the matzah, check. Hear a shofar, check. Is the totality of who you are as a person, in addition to all those mitzvahs that you're doing, bringing kavod shamayim? That's what Hashem remembers. What does it mean to be you? Beyond the mathematics of how many sins and how many good deeds I have. Who am I? No wonder the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Adam in the first Rosh Hashanah of history, Ayeka, where are you and who are you? Was God adding up Adam's aveirus and mitzvos? There wasn't much to tally. It wasn't so hard. Even someone not so smart in math could add them up. What did he have already? One aveira. Maybe he was nice to his wife to get a point for some shalom bias. There's not much to tally. What's God saying? Ayeka. What do you mean ayeka? One aveira. X. I mean eight. Asher tzivisicha levolt yachal ben ochalta was on Rosh Hashanah. Because he was created on Rosh Hashanah, Adam. And he sinned on Rosh Hashanah. And God comes on Rosh Hashanah. He says, where are you? What do you mean, where are you? I'm hiding in the fig tree. Is that what God meant? No. That is the grand totality of who you are. Yes, sometimes maybe not you. You become impatient. Sometimes the benching's not perfect. I'm not trying to excuse it. It should always be perfect. Sometimes the Lashon Hara slips, even though with the best of intentions, it shouldn't. Sometimes the dress is not so tzanua. Sometimes I ate something that maybe was questionable. I'm not condoning these things. But we're human beings and it happens. Is that who God is? This point against that point? No. Because someone could fast her first fast day and break her fast on treif and probably get a lot of schar for such an amaisa. Because God looks at the grand picture of who you are and what it means to be you. Am I using, it's so powerful. Am I using the kochos, the strengths, the innate capabilities I've been endowed with to bring kavod shamayim? To prepare for Rosh Hashanah, continues Rabbi Leuchter, we have to learn to look deeper at our actions, at ourselves, and see the story that emerges from them. That story is often different from the picture that forms if you just look at the action itself. So if you look at a girl fasting on, let's say it was a Sar Batavis, I have no idea the history, I don't know where she was, I don't know what she ate after the fast, I don't know which fast it was. I'm using an example. Right? You look at somebody who fasted all the Sar Batavis, and then you see her going to McDonald's and she buys treif. You would think to yourself, a shiksa, how could she do that? Because you're looking at the action, not the totality of who she is. Who could fathom the schar that she got for fasting on that day when she doesn't have family support or an education or a rav or guidance and she realizes it's a fast day and I'm a Jew, so I'm going to fast. And so the story of who we are is often different from the picture that forms if one examines the action itself, just as a memory is so different from a photograph of an event. An action that we find negative, an example that I'm using, it's a real life example, was shared with me last night. An action that we find negative might actually reveal a deeply rooted spiritual koach. This girl obviously had a very deeply spiritual koach. Last night she broke the fast on kosher. So you may view the act as negative. We might be so quick to judge. We think we're the dying emes. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the Baal Rachamim. He doesn't look at us as numbers, as tallies, as lines, as a list of averus and mitzvos. He looks at who you are as the totality of a person and what it means to be you. Are you living a life of being mekadesh shem shamayim? despite sometimes stumbling and failing, and other times elevating ourselves through mitzvahs. On the other hand, an act that seems laudable might in fact reveal the area we need to work on the most. Most people, says Rabbi Leuchter, who made a positive change in their lives, relate to the past as an unpleasant stain to be removed or ignored. To them, teshuvah is to erase the past and start fresh. But that approach throws the baby out with the bathwater. They turn a blind eye to the significant aspects of their personality and certain spiritual strengths they use in Avodas Hashem. Their Avodas Hashem might be deprived of tremendous kochos that lie behind regrettable actions. I could not script this better. I cut this out in 4 weeks ago, and I knew I was teaching it. Hashem should help me to be well, either in Elul or sometime before Yom Kippur, and here it is. Yafeh sha'achas b'teshuvah u'maisim tovim mikol chaye ha'olam haba. That single act of teshuvah changes your personality. It's not just about what you did. It's about the process of who you become. And your whole life is spent shaping the person that we are. So an act that seems laudable might reveal an area we need to work on most. Someone who repents and makes positive changes might want to erase the past, but they don't realize that there are tremendous spiritual kochos behind a regrettable action. There's a tremendous spiritual koch to be a young girl and say, I'm going to fast today, even though I don't know about the fast. I don't know why I'm fasting. Maybe I heard about it on a college campus. I'm going to fast. It's an unbelievable spiritual strength. People make mistakes because we only view the dry action, which is negative, but the story behind it has a positive aspect. About teshuva, he continues, recently consulted with me about his lack of connection to learning. In my efforts to help him find a point of connection, I asked if he had any hobbies. No. I asked if he had hobbies in the past. Yes, he said, but he was embarrassed. He told me he was trivial and childish. When I pressed him, he told me he loved to read novels over and over. Sometimes he would read a favorite book 10 times in a row. He saw the dry action of reading novels, which he now perceived as a waste of time. But had he seen the story that emerged from the action, he would see that he had a tremendous ability to find meaning and excitement in going over already familiar content. That sounds like who? Us, when we learn. Do you ever get bored if I tell you the same Dvar Torah? If you say yes, I can't even imagine. How could you say yes? I could hear the same thing 10 times, 20 times. I'm excited as I heard it the first time. So if he looked beyond the dry action of reading book, he would see that he could tap into a certain koach within himself, which is the ability to remain excited and fresh, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, to be every day in your eyes like the Torah was given to you today. The embarrassing hobby he tried to forget actually revealed a koach he could use to connect to learning. Because when you learn, you're going to learn the same thing over and over again. You need to review. And it should always be as exciting as the first time. Hashem looks beyond the dry action to see who we are. Think about that as you engage in the process of teshuvah. Ayaka, who am I? Where am I? What have I done in the past? What do I hope to do in the future? Where am I holding in my life? What is the totality of the person that I am? The converse is also true. The actions we are most proud of might actually be our greatest weakness. Maybe a person thinks his greatest strength is chesed. He goes to incredible measures to help others. He selflessly aids sick people in ways that others find repulsive or demeaning. He is a true Baal chesed, if you look at his dry actions. But if you examine the story, you might see that the chesed is driven by a selfish desire to win the praise and approval of others. Like the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, the path to teshuvah does not end with dry actions, because I can almost guarantee you that we are going to sin again in the new year. Sorry. Said Rav Futner to his Talmud, this is not a self-fulfilling prophecy. We're just fallible. We're weak. We're people. We are going to put X's on the other side of the chart. And that's bad. And we have to try and stay away from those. And nobody in this year is condoning those things. But God looks beyond that to see the totality of who we are. And so the path to teshuvah does not end with only the dry action. To effect deep personal change, it's not enough to carry out mitzvos and more mitzvos. You have to change the story of who you are. That's what teshuvah means. It's so powerful. For example, if you want to work on hasmada, diligence in learning, it's from the word tamid. Did you know that? I learned that a few years ago. Hasmada is actually from the word tamid, matmid, in Israeli pronunciation, a masmid. Someone who is consistent and constant in Torah learning. For example, if you want to work on hasmada, your commitment to Torah learning, the objective won't be the simple action of learning extra hours. Okay, I want to be a masmid, so I'm going to commit 5 more hours to my zman, my seder. That's hasmada. But those extra 5 hours to your learning seder, obviously he's talking about boys in yeshiva, but we could all apply this to our lives, doesn't necessarily change your story. Why were you a masmid till now? Were you overly curious about matters not relevant to your life, news, politics, sports? If so, you don't need to work on the amount of hours of learning. You need to work on your interest in events that are taking away your ability to cling to God. Maybe you need to work on concentration. Maybe you need to work on atzlus, laziness. Two people's actions might be similar, but they tell totally different stories. And the example I gave you is perfect. One person fasts and eats treif, and she's at tzaddikis, but makom shabal tshuva omdim. And the other person fasts and eats treif, and it's not, she's not going to a good place. She's going the other way. Says Rabbi Leuchter, this approach to teshuva is demanding. I'm going to propose it's even more demanding than the other way. It's easier to put a few more checks on the chart than change the totality of who you are. It's easy to say, I'm never going to eat from the Eitz Hadas again, than to change what it means to be Adam HaRishon after the sin. It's easier to say, I'm going to dress more tzanua, daven extra tefillah, and to get to the root of the problem. Maybe I struggle in my tefillah because I lack patience. So what I need to work on at that time is not the tefillah, it's patience. The kohos, the talents, abilities, capabilities, are they being channeled properly to serve God? This approach to teshuva is demanding. But teshuva means personal change, not just checking off that you did more mitzvos. If you're doing more mitzvos and they don't change you, then you haven't fulfilled the mission of the Yom HaZikaron, and you haven't fulfilled the mission of your life. Very nice. You add an air of chesed to your week. It's geschmack. It's gewaldic. The recipient's going to benefit, and in some fashion, you're also going to benefit. But you have to allow it to change who you are. Teshuva means personal change, not just doing more mitzvahs. You know, there's a story told there. I actually didn't think of it before in the Rebbetzin Kanievsky biography. If I would have thought it before, I would have had it in front of me to quote it exactly. In the Rebbetzin Kanievsky biography, it happened one time that her daughter was coming late to seminary because a neighbor of the Kanievskys, Zecher Tzadik Mukdoshim Lebracha, I think broke an arm or something, and she needed help getting the kids ready for school. Oh, you remember? Susan, you remember the story. So she needed help getting the kids ready for school. So the daughter, I think the name may have been Chana. I don't know the book in front of me. I remembered at the second to last sentence of this article. Okay, otherwise I would have prepared it to have here. So the principal from the seminary called the Rabbitson, and he said, you know, I can't imagine calling Rabbitson Kayevsky to tell this, but fine. With all due respect, Rabbitson, your daughter's coming late to seminary. We come to seminary first, we do chesed after. She said, no, in our home, chesed comes first, and then seminary comes after. I'm not saying to throw out your education, but you have to be changed by what you do. You have to internalize the mitzvahs that we do. You have to let the chesed, the maisim tovim, the tshuva maisim tovim, yafesh sha'achas, mikol chayo olam haba, course through our very being. and we need to become a different person. That's teshuva. This approach to teshuva is demanding, but teshuva means personal change, not only doing more mitzvos. Let's live up to the challenge. Let's look deeper and try to find the story behind our actions. And perhaps then, for the first time, we can finally rewrite it. And so Rabbi Yaakov says, Haskein atzmecha b'prozdor, prepare yourself in the antechamber, kadei shetikanes the traklin, so that you can enter the ballroom. The mashal even works there. They're only letting the dignitaries, the royals, people of regal lineage, into the ballroom. And along comes this person who lives on the streets, and he says, well, I bought the right suit, and I have the right shoes, and I even bought a tie. But they take one look at him, and they say, you don't belong in the ballroom, because on the paper, everything you have might add up, but the personality of who you are does not fit into the greater picture. And so Rabbi Yaakov also used to say, Yafeh sha'achas b'tshuva ma'isim tovim ba'olam haza mikol chaya olam haba. Now we can understand that. If you change who you are in this world, it's greater than all of life in the eternal world, because then you take that with you, Ashim Risha Balakan b'talmuda b'yado, and you become truly a different person. So think to yourself, these Asaras Yemei Teshuva, Arlo Yom Hei, we're about halfway through. What does it mean to be me? Not only the mitzvos, which we Baruch Hashem all have. We have them. We don't have to be overly humble and say we never did a mitzvah this year. It's not true. We don't have to be overly self-critical and say you're the biggest rasha. You're not. I'm somewhere between. I have plenty of mitzvos, and I unfortunately have plenty of averos. But God looks at a much bigger picture. And that's what we have to ask ourselves. When you hear the voice of Hashem, God, walking in the garden by the spirit of the day, are you going to hide? Are you going to be able to answer, Hineni, here I am? I thank our sponsors very deeply. And should only bring Zuchuyos Latova for Agamar Vichasima Tova to them and their families. Ruti Berkowitz, as a refuah shleim for Chad Rivka Bas Edna and Rivka Shoshana Bas Nomi Bat Sheva, as well as an aliyah neshama for her mother Alal Sham Yehudas Bas David, who lived life with sincerity and honesty. Our anonymous sponsor, in honor of this amazing class, and everyone Sheva Gemar Vechasima Tova, peace, health, Yeshuas Besoros Tovos, Susie Fonfeder as refuahs for all those in need, and a Gukka Ben Shtir. And at the last minute, Gail Hoffman is generously sponsoring as a refuah for someone, a family member, a close family member of one of our learning partners of this group. Refuah for Yitzchak Feish Ben Feiga Sima Besoch Shar Chalei Yisrael. I wish everybody a meaningful Gemar V'chasima Tova. Be'ezras Hashem, we do have share next week, and we do have sponsors between Yom Kippur and Sukkos. Thank you so much, everybody, and a meaningful Shabbos Shuvah as well. Kol Tov B'soros Tovos, and thank you to all.